I had a hard time with this one, man. I gotta be honest with you. But there's also a point where it starts to feel like dudes in their backyard playing make-believe kung fu for an hour. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I would say someone's got to check this out. Because I can't be the only one that bought this.
Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the Midnight Triple Feature podcast. You can find us on the web at midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com, on Twitter and Facebook at MT Feature. You can subscribe to our channel through iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, and YouTube. And you can send feedback and requests to midnighttriplefeature@gmail.com. For today's episode, we are covering 1983's Sledgehammer and 2005's The Bite. This podcast may contain spoilers. Enjoy.
All right, welcome to this episode of Midnight Triple Feature. Adam's here.
Hello.
I'm Mike, and the website's midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. You can link up to Twitter, Facebook from there. Check us out on Instagram. If you use iTunes and you like the show, you can just help us out by leaving us a written review or a star rating.
Huh? Is your voice coming back through somewhere?
Did you hear that too?
Yeah, I think it's coming through the headphones.
Hello? Oh, yeah, it's back feeding in the headphones. It's a great start to the show. Fuck it. That's all right. Just put them over here.
I don't think it's coming through the mic.
No.
Sure. All right, well, you want to start with something?
Yeah, what do you want to do? You want to do recently seen?
Yeah, we can do that.
Just down a little bit because I don't want to talk very loud right now.
Should get that a little. All right, well, what do you go first? And I think you watched more than I did, actually. So.
Yeah, I've been watching quite a few stuff. I'll just go over a few of them, though.
All
right. Yeah, I get my history up here. All right, so I've been checking out that B-movie channel on the Roku, and they had this. It actually took me a minute to figure out what it was because I had never seen it before, and I'm like, oh, this is a pretty kick-ass movie, and I had recognized one of the guys in it. I only recognized him from the Walking Tall remake with The Rock. He's the dude that owns the casino. I recognized him, so I looked him up, and the movie was called One Tough Bastard from 1996. It's like this really awesome action movie, but it's like a standard story. He's a Marine. His family gets killed. He's out for revenge. You know, there's somebody in the way that he's got to go through, you know, that kind of story.
Yeah.
But God, it is freaking awesome. I'll read you some of the top-billed cast here. Brian Bosworth.
Were they playing the trailer for this on the channel? Because I want to say I think I saw the trailer on there, but I never got to catch the movie.
Yeah, I didn't see the trailer. Yeah. I caught the movie about 10 minutes in. It's got Jeff Kober, Bruce Payne. There's a lot of real well-known people in it. I would say if you can find it, check it out. It's actually a really cool. It was weird because I thought it was like a late 80s action movie. Like, yeah. I wasn't expecting it to be in 1996. Uh-huh. Just had that late 80s.
Well, it was probably like a direct-to-video action movie or something, so.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I mean? Has that feel to it. But.
I also watched Housebound.
How was that?
I watched it on Netflix.
I hear like mixed about it, so I've kind of not been that, you know.
Yeah, it was. The atmosphere of the movie was good. The acting was good. The characters in it were really good. It was just kind of one of those movies that you're checking the time the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm watching, I'm like, man, this movie's got to be almost over by now, you know?
Yeah.
It's that type of movie. I would say check it out. It's worth a watch.
Yeah.
I think it's from New Zealand, I want to say.
It's something like that, yeah.
I would say check it out, you know, if it's in your queue and you ain't got shit to watch. It looks like it's going to be a horror movie. Nothing scary about it at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those movies that they...
It's more of a comedy, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a dark comedy.
Yeah.
But they play it off like it's going to be a horror movie, and it's just not.
Gotcha.
And I hate being misled. I watched this, check this out. I forget what channel it's on. It's on one of these channels on Roku. It's the worst horror movie ever made. That's the name of it.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty fucking entertaining. Like, it plays on a bunch of classic horror movies. And, for instance, one of them is The Attack of the 50-Foot Woman or whatever.
Yep.
But when she gets big, all her clothes rip off. So she is completely naked the whole time. And the dude finds out that it's his girlfriend, and he finds out she was pregnant. So to get rid of the baby, he has, like, the military or somebody shoot him up her snatch.
Oh my
so
God.
He can go in and get rid of the baby. It's like that type of
That's
movie.
That's ridiculous.
It is. It could be shorter. It's like 2 hours and 20
Holy
minutes
shit.
Of just fucking nonsense.
Wow.
But there's parts of it that just make you fucking laugh because it's so ridiculous. I would check that one out, too, if you get a chance. That's the type of movie you just kind of sit down with a friend and really check out. I watched it by myself, and I laughed, but with, like, a friend or a group of people, it'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
The last one I'll mention is I watched Black Samurai.
Black Samurai.
Now, for some reason, I thought this was Public Domain from 1977, and I thought it was on one of the Mill Creek kits, but it doesn't seem to be. But this is a really kick-ass blaxploitation, kung fu, pretty similar to the ones we did in a show, you know, a few months back, but it's done a lot better. Like, it's actually really kick-ass. You know, it's same fucking story. Girlfriend gets kidnapped. Dude's got to go out and try to get his girl back. But the best part is, there's like a 10-minute scene where he's got a jetpack. This is back in 77, so it's hilarious. And it's funny because the first thing I notice when he's on the jetpack is his reflection, and you can see the big boom off of on the shadow because the camera's facing the ground. So as you kind of see, it's his feet dangling and a shadow flying around. But you can see the boom and the camera hanging off. And then when they did the outside shots of him flying around, they never removed the camera. They left it all attached. So even the outside shots, like they must be in a helicopter or something.
Yeah.
The camera's still attached and the boom and everything. And then it'll go to the next scene of like an outside shot. The camera's completely gone. It is absolutely ridiculous. Wow. It's actually a really good flick, though. Check that one out. That's Black Samurai from 77.
All right.
So what do you got?
All right, I watched a couple newer things, actually. By the way, do you notice that Wormwood is on Netflix now?
Oh, I watched that, too.
Oh, I got to check that out still.
I watched it with Jeff, actually.
Oh, yeah, I got to check that out still. Was it good, though?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I don't think he did.
Well, okay.
it's really low budget. And
yeah, maybe he was probably expecting it to be like...
I think he was expecting it to be something more.
Yeah.
I actually liked it. I enjoyed it for what it was. Really low budget, and I love the fact you'll notice everything is earthy.
Yeah.
They, like, dim all the color down to, like, this brownish. It's weird. You know, like, skin tone and stuff stays the same, and, like, certain other things in the movie stay the same. But, like, the sky and all the color around them is always, like, this grim, like, brownish, like, earth tone color, and it really kicks the movie up a notch. It really does. Huh. So, yeah,
I'll check it out, yeah. But anyway, I watched Maggie, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Abigail Breslin movie where his daughter gets bit by a zombie.
Yeah, then he did that for free, right?
He did it for like $10,000.
Oh, yeah?
Which is like, you know, that's a lot of money to me, but to him, it's nothing, you know? Yeah, I mean, he doesn't get the opportunity to do movies like this very often, so it's... a really, really slow burn kind of zombie film. There's no action in the movie at all. There's a little bit of gore and a little bit of, like, you know, horror type stuff in it. But for the most part, like, go in knowing that it's like a dramatic horror, you know. You're not going to get any, like, typical zombie movie type stuff or typical Schwarzenegger type stuff. So, but it's good. It is actually pretty good.
So, anything like The Battery?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you were to, like, compare pacing, yeah, I'd say so, yeah. Obviously a very different kind of movie, because The Battery's about, you know, two guys sort of dealing with almost the boredom of the apocalypse, whereas this is, like, a father dealing with, you know, his daughter basically turning into a zombie, so, and, you know, how is he gonna basically handle it when she finally turns and all that kind of stuff. But he's really good in it. Like, I know everybody's been saying it, so it sounds like a broken record when I say it, but he is, like, very good in it. Like, it kind of shows that with the right kind of director, like, a guy like Schwarzenegger can put in a performance that's believable. Because, you know, he's all over the map, depending on the movie you watch. It always depends on, you know. But for this, he was, like, really toned down, and he was good. I mean, it helps. He's working with Abigail Breslin. She's a decent actress anyway, so I'm sure that helps.
Yeah, I can't think of... I'm trying to rattle my brain. I can't think of anything Schwarzenegger was in that wasn't action.
Yeah, I mean, or comedy. I mean, you know, like...
Yeah.
Because he did, like, Kindergarten Cop, but that, even that was, like, comedy Twins. Action. He did Twins, which that's comedy.
Yeah.
And, like, Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, you're right. Like, this is probably the only time, that I can think of that he's been given the opportunity to do a pure dramatic role. So, it's good. I mean, it's kind of interesting to watch him do something different, you know.
Yeah. No, that's on Netflix, right? Is it?
I don't know. I watched it in Redbox. I don't know if it's on Netflix or not. But,
might not be yet.
Yeah, it is low budget. It's very minimal in its sort of use of locations and sets, but it's definitely worth watch. I watched another, you know, I like Liam Neeson movies.
Yeah.
And Jeff's not here to argue with me about Liam Neeson and his hate of guns. But I watched, you remember, yeah, I don't remember what episode that was.
It was a while back.
Anybody who's been listening for a while knows what I'm talking about, because we got into a pretty heated argument about Liam Neeson. And the types of characters he should be allowed to play based on his personal opinions. But anyway, Run All Night is basically Liam Neeson's like an old hitman, like a retired hitman. And his son has basically disowned him. And then his son gets in trouble with the mafia that Liam Neeson's character basically worked for. And he has to protect his son over the course of one night. His son being like in his 30s, you know, it's the guy that played RoboCop in the RoboCop remake.
Yeah.
Joel Kinnaman. I think he's in Suicide. He's in Suicide.
Which is like
Squad.
$7.50 on DVD now.
Yeah,
like,
I know,
Walmart.
I know, yeah. It's been on Netflix forever and Amazon Prime.
Oh, is it? I never had the urge to look.
It pops up all the time. But anyway, he's in it and Liam Neeson's in it. But I don't know, man. I like Liam Neeson movies, you know, like. There's some decent action set pieces in it. There's a really good car chase in it. There's nothing surprising in the movie. You know exactly pretty much where it's going to go, what's going to happen. But if you're looking for something that's, you know, a decent action movie with some good drama in it, standard performances, Liam Neeson just plays that guy. You know, it's the same guy he played in A Walk Among the Tombstones. Basically, it's the same character. It's an old drunk guy who is really good at, like, killing people or finding people or whatever.
No, I like Liam Neeson, too.
Yeah, I know he's quitting action movies, so I don't know how many more he's got, but he says he's done with them. Yeah, we'll see if that actually happens, because I'm thinking he's probably pay pretty well.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a bunch that I haven't even seen. So.
Yeah, me too. I've only
even
seen the first
Taken
movie.
Even after he quits, I'll have enough time to go back and watch.
And then, other than that, I mean, watch artsploitation stuff, which we're going to talk about one together, but I know you didn't watch Reckless, so I'll talk about Reckless quickly. But Reckless is a movie coming out from Artsploitation Films, and it's a very simple story. It's about these two guys that kidnap this girl, strip her naked, tie her to a bed, take pictures of her, dress her back up. Like, they set it all up in the beginning where you think it's going to be like they're going to basically rape her or murder her or something, but that's not actually what happens, and there's all kinds of twists and turns throughout. Some of it you're kind of going to see coming. Some of it you're not going to see coming. I knew what was going to happen in the end, unfortunately. I just kind of knew it was going to go this way. I wasn't blown away by it. You know, I've been a big fan of a lot of the exploitation releases, but Reckless, just, it's not really a genre of movie that I'm necessarily drawn to. Most of it takes place in a single room, which is okay. I think they use that pretty well, considering they have really limited location. I think they do pretty good that it's all basically in one apartment. I just don't like kidnap stories. Like, stories about, like, bad guys who kidnap people, and then, I don't know. It doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, so
I need, like, more action in there, I think. There's not enough of it for a movie like this, and it's well acted, it's well made. I guess it's a remake or a reboot of a movie called The Disappearance of Alice Creed, which was a film that came out of England, I believe. So that's actually is a remake, but it was it's a German or Dutch or something. Yeah, it might be Dutch. But I mean it was fine. I just for me it's nothing I would ever want to seek out again. You know, I was just some people are probably gonna really love it. Just not really my thing.
Well, I mean that's probably the first one by them that
you're not saying
it's bad, you're just saying it's
yeah, it's really not. Again. Like it's actually not bad. You know, and there are people who are gonna really like it, just not my cup of tea. That's all it is.
Yeah, I'm not into those either.
Yeah, I don't think you would have really liked it either. I meant to
watch it. I was trying, but
yeah, I just get the feeling that you probably would have had a similar feeling. Just, but we can talk about Cub.
Yes.
So Cub's a different kind of movie.
Way different.
So Cub, basic plot. It's about this group of Cub Scouts and their scout leaders. They go out into the woods for this, you know, weekend camping trip. And living in the woods is a feral child and a grown man who hunt down the people who come into their woods with these elaborate traps. And so basically this group goes in there and then they run into these two, you know, murderous backwoods people and have to try to survive. I mean, that's basic plot. All right, so what are your...
Right off the bat, dude, I thought this movie was pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I'm going to try to not spoil anything because it's not even out yet.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to dance around it, but there is one particular kill I do want to spoil. So if you don't want to hear about any of the kills, fast forward a minute or something.
You just don't say who the character is, and you know what I mean? You don't have to say the character. You can just say the kill, probably, without spoiling the character.
Yeah, I mean... The way the kill happens, they're going to know what I'm talking about as soon as it goes down. All but right. A kill that I've never seen done before, maybe you have, but I haven't. Someone takes an arrow through a massive yellow jacket's nest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
through the guy's chest. So the guy doesn't really die from the arrow to the chest. He gets stung by fucking bees.
It's pretty awesome.
Best kill I've seen in a long time.
It's the best kill in the whole movie.
Oh, my God. It's just... Yeah. Like, I watched it. I actually rewound it just to watch the kill again. Yeah. It's that good.
Yeah, I mean, they have like, the tent kill and stuff. Like, that's kind of fun. But that beehive kill is just ridiculous. It's so good.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that before. It's kind of like a double kill.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah, because... Yeah, he's going to die from the arrow regardless.
Yeah.
But before he dies, he's going to get the shit stung out of him. Yeah.
The trees were good, too, when the two trees came down.
Oh, that was good, too, yeah.
It was just, like, unexpected when that, you know, the way it goes, because...
Yeah, because it kind of happens twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, overall, I've actually been looking forward to Cub for, like, a while.
Yeah, we had been talking about it since a trailer dropped.
Yeah, forever it seems like we've been talking about Cub, and... The only thing I would say is if there's one thing I wish the movie had done, I think it does a lot of things right. I think the cast is good. I think the little boy, like that main boy that keeps telling everybody that they think it's like a werewolf, basically. They think that there's this legend.
Kai.
Yeah, Kai, about this kid who turns into a werewolf at night, and that's who the main boy keeps thinking he sees. He thinks he sees Kai. No one believes him. I think that kid is good. I think the little feral kid is good. What I wish they had done is focused more on the Cub Scouts themselves. Like, I wanted more of that. Because, like, you had this big group of kids, and for most of the time when the action is happening, they're really kind of in the tent.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think, at the table.
Yeah, but I think it focuses too much on, like, the adults in the movie and not enough on the kids. Because if you watch, like, some of the marketing for the movie, if you go, like, on the Blu-ray... There's a menu screen, like, on the chapters or the features or whatever, on the features. And it has, like, all the kids lined up and they're all, like, holding weapons, you know? So, like, you have this idea that these kids are going to have to actually try and survive out there. You don't necessarily get that here. I would have liked to have seen the kids actually have to, like, do something. Besides the main, you know, that one main kid who does have a lot to do.
Yeah, because they don't do much, but I think they're more or less in the tent. For, like, the fear effect. Like, they're stuck in a tent. There's no way out.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's just the way they play.
I think it would have been more fun. I think I was expecting it to be a little bit more fun by bringing... I feel like they have this element, these kids, that they could really use, capitalize on, and do something that may make people a little bit more uncomfortable, like basically putting these kids through all these traps. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been pushing the envelope because movies don't really do that. But to have, like, a kid get a beehive in the chest rather than a grown man.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because these kinds of things would have been, like, uncomfortably funny in a way. Like, it still would have worked, but it would have made you more like, ooh, you know what I mean? But you, I don't know, this idea of these kids being, like, Lord of the Flies in a way, this idea of kids having to survive out there, I find a bit more interesting.
The only time you really get interaction with the kids is when they're making fun of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
you know,
right?
They just bully this kid the whole time, and it's really the only interaction. And then when it actually comes down to it, they're, like, in the tent, like, not even wanting to come out. They're like, no, don't even go out
there.
That's
what I'm
saying,
right?
Like, if you're a
Boy
Scout, wouldn't you go out and try to survive?
As a kid in general, you'd be curious.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that, the movie doesn't go that way, and the direction the movie goes works, right? Like, but I would have been interesting to see it go the other way. Just to, in my head, I would have loved to have seen that other direction to see what would have come out of it. But the direction that it goes, where it kind of puts kids off the side, still works. You know, I still enjoy the movie, and I will absolutely watch it again.
Oh, me too.
You know what I mean? So it's not necessarily a knock on the movie. It's more of, I think this could have been, like, a ridiculously fun movie. I don't think it's as much fun as a result, because I feel like that's a little left behind, that's all.
Yeah, they went dark with it. It's a very serious, dark
style. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? I was expecting a little bit more of, like, energy to it than
you get that comic relief with the fat cop on the moped.
Right, you do get, that's true.
Yeah.
And the two guys on the car, even, like, that stuff early on.
Yeah, those two douches in the what do they call them, the jogging suits.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, even, like, the house that Kai lives in.
Oh,
like,
oh
the
my
detail
God.
On
that
it
thing's
is,
amazing.
Oh, my God, is it crazy?
That was really, really
you
awesome.
Know, they have, I mean, it goes from, you got the truck going in, you got the woods, you got Kai's house, you got the underground bunkers, you have, and they utilize everything.
Yeah.
And they utilize it well.
Yeah. No, absolutely they do. Yeah, there's some great sets. And there's some, like I said, the sort of, what is it called when you have, like, that contraption that does a bunch of shit? Like, a Rube Goldberg machine. It's like the thing in Pee-wee's house in the beginning of Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he makes breakfast. Yeah, it's called the Rube Goldberg machine. And it's when you have a bunch of things that do a bunch of shit to complete one single task, basically.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, in Back to the Future, Doc Brown has one in the beginning to put the food, like, into Einstein's bowl and stuff. That's what these traps are. You know, like, you have, like, a bowling ball roll down a track to, like, you know what I mean? To set off
switch,
a series.
So you're paying attention. Everything else.
I kind of like that. You know, I like that there's
you're watching the tree fall and the branch break and the ball roll. And the next thing you know, you're being hit with the trap.
Exactly. I like that. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of sort of creativity that goes into that. So.
I like the mask. I thought that was
mask
pretty
is
unique.
Really cool, yeah.
It's just a piece of bark that he engraved a horn on.
Yeah, the mask is great. That kid in general is really great. Like, you could have...
Yeah.
You honestly could have gotten rid of that guy and, like, just had that kid. And, I mean, he's the core of the movie. You know, it's like he's the one that comes off as the most threatening to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked him.
So...
Yeah, because, even the older guy wouldn't...
Yeah.
Didn't have a big role at all.
Yeah, I mean, his role is basically to, you know, tell the kid what to do. I mean, helps. He's just like his dog, his helper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And then you have the asshole camp guy with the dog.
Yeah.
The dude's such a dude. He even sends his dog after the poor
that guy's
Boy
an
Scout.
Asshole, yeah.
And then you have the guy who's always trying to calm things down.
Yeah.
And then the girl that they're trying to bang.
Right.
I mean, all around, all the characters. It's fantastic.
It's a good movie. I really enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. So.
And that was that Finland? Was that Finnish?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I think.
They're in France. It's German.
Oh, maybe it was. Yeah.
Yeah. They're in France. They're actually camping in France, but I want to say the movie's actually German. That they're traveling from Germany to France. I'm almost positive that's what it is.
Yeah. So it is subtitled, but it definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure when. I think it comes out next month.
Yeah, September maybe. Although by the time... No, this will be out in August, so...
Yeah. So this should be out before the movie.
Should be.
So definitely keep an eye out for that. Check it out. You can go to the Artsploitation website and see all their new releases and stuff. It should be listed there.
And we'll probably be giving that away as well, so keep your eyes open.
Yeah, we'll have another giveaway coming up, so.
I think Cup's going to be in there.
That'll probably be one of them.
That's it. So that's all I've been watching. That's all you've been watching, right? So
yeah. Any good news or anything you've been seeing?
Yeah, let's see. It's, normally I don't have. There just hasn't been a lot of news lately. But I think there's some stuff now that we can actually talk about. If I can get my phone to load, maybe we can get yours to come up faster.
What are you looking for?
Let's. Okay, wait. I got it. I'm just gonna go right down the line here. So first up is. Universal's Monsters Cinematic Universe. So Universal Pictures has been trying to get their cinematic universe off the ground for years, but opting instead to use the world of their classic monsters rather than superheroes like everyone else seems to be doing. The plan got off to a rough start last year when a press release described the film as epic action adventures. Now, we talked about this back when that press release came out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, rather than horror that many were expecting, the hiring of Transformers and Fast and Furious franchise scribes like Alex Kurtzman and Chris Morgan did not alleviate the fears. However, appearing at the Television Critics Association press tour, Kurtzman spoke with Collider about how they plan, how the plan by Universal is progressing. The Monster Universe is coming together very, very quickly. We're very excited. There will be announcements soon. We have actually started doing a lot of design work. We're getting scripts in. Everything's feeling really, really good, so I don't want to curse it by saying too much, but it's going well. Asked about the fans bristling to the way it seems horror is being forgotten, Kurtzman says he understands the reaction and stresses that horror elements will very much remain in play. Yeah, I think it's a fair response, and it's actually not. I think there was some loss in translation quality to the way it was received. No, because what was lost in translation? They said epic action advent.
Those are their words.
Right?
They wrote it.
Lost
and I'm pretty sure they wrote it in a press release.
Right. So anyway, let me continue. I think there was some loss in translation quality to the way it was received, because I promise you there will be horror in these movies. It is our life goal to make a horror movie.
Okay.
The tricky part is actually how you combine horror with either adventure, suspense, or action. Be true to all the genres together, I guess. In some way, Mummy, I mean, action horror movies have existed. For him to say that it's, for anyone to say that it's tricky, I mean, plenty of movies have pulled off action and horror in the same thing.
Yeah.
Mummy, dating all the way back to the Karloff movie, was the first to do that. It was the first to combine horror with, I wouldn't say action, but certainly a lot of suspense. Our goal is to have each movie retain the identity and individuality of the specific monster, but you see how they start to fit into a larger universe as the movies unravel. This first film in the plan is Kurtzman-directed reboot of The Mummy, which launches early 2017.
So there is their plan to intertwine every single one of these characters together?
Yes. So they are doing a Monsters Universe, yes.
But are they going to do 10 different individual movies before this happens?
Sounds to me like what they're going to do is do several individual movies where they're slowly bringing them together to the point where then you have your Avengers, quote-unquote. It would be like, you know, how they introduce, right, what did they do first? They did Iron Man, and they did Thor came out before Avengers, right? And Captain America come out before the Avengers. So, like, the same way that, like, Marvel said, we're going to try to put out all these movies, then the Avengers, I think they're doing the same thing. They're going to do Mummy, and they'll probably do... They're going to do Mummy, Dracula, Frankenstein. The Creature's not one of them, because I'm pretty sure Creature's coming out completely separate, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to sit through every single one of these movies again when I enjoy the originals.
Right. And I don't believe him when he's says they're making a horror movie. I just don't believe him. I think he's full of shit. I think he's saying that now because they're backtracking. Because they came out and they said, we're making this type of movie. And then everybody was like, what? You know what I mean? Because the only people that care about these movies are horror fans. General public does not care about monsters. They just don't give a shit. So when they came out and said, we're making epic action adventures, everybody was like, what the fuck are you talking about? It makes no sense. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. These are horror films, right? I mean, the closest ones maybe to, like, an action or adventure maybe is, like, Creature, because it takes place out in the Amazon on a boat. But that's, I don't even think that's part of the universe, you know? And he's, I don't know. I think he's full of shit. I think they're going to make whatever movie they think is going to sell the most tickets, and that's not going to be a horror movie. And it's not going to be any kind of hard horror movie event, you know. Not that Universal Monsters are wherever, like, R-rated type of horror, but...
No, but do you really want to sit through fucking Van Helsing again? You know,
no,
like a CGI monster movie
that
nobody likes to get to this intertwining of all these. Just right, I mean, Universal's make one done movie this. And just intertwine them at that point.
Right, because Universal did. It's like House of Frankenstein had like a bunch of them in it. So, I mean, they've done it before, and they had, they've had several movies where they brought, you know, other monsters into the universe. But I when we talked about this like a year ago, I said there's already a movie that did it, and that was Monster Squad, and they did it perfectly. Like, you want to talk about a movie that blends elements of horror with action and adventure and does it correctly, the Monster Squad did it.
Yeah.
They really did.
I'm just thinking that they're going to fuck this up.
They are, yeah. I mean, like I said.
Wouldn't it be awesome if, like, when the trailer comes out, it's just, like, this heavy, like, 80s TV series trailer, and it's just Frankenstein and the Wolfman, like, skipping down the road to, like, he's my best friend, right? And then they go down to the swamp with the creature and, like, oh, have God. Lunch and shit, and they all get that an apartment together.
I'd actually watch that.
Fuck yeah, I would.
Yeah, like a Three's Company style.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Yeah, I would actually watch that.
One of them's got to pretend they're gay so they can stay in the house and shit.
Yeah, that's right, because that's what Three's Company was, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the gay one... It's not going to be Dracula, because he gets mad chicks.
Yeah, and Frankenstein's got a wife.
Yeah, and I would guess that his junk rotted off a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's not Mummy, is it Creature?
Is the creature a boy or girl? Do we even know? I'm pretty sure it's a boy, but...
I don't know. Well, you could be gay if it's a girl, right?
Yeah.
So...
But don't certain, like frogs, like, didn't we learn some Jurassic Park can switch?
That's true. Yeah, there so you it's go. That's going to be it. Yeah, that's going to be it. Yeah. It's going to be Creature. Although Creatures might not be part of this universe.
So. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not excited about it at all. I'm almost guaranteeing that The Mummy is going to not do well when it comes out, and that could permanently put an end to it anyway.
Yeah.
You know? I just
saw that box set again.
I do want that. Yeah.
I've got like four of them on blue right now. I bought them individually when they were on sale, but that box set is $60 at Target.
That's actually not bad.
Is
it Blu-rays? That's a Blu-ray
no,
set?
No, it's DVDs.
That Blu-ray set.
The Blu-ray's probably about $80.
Yeah. And they put out, is that box set like the big one that you just put out that has like everything in it?
Yeah, it's got them all.
Yeah, so that one.
See, when I was there,
they need to put that one on Blu-ray.
They had them all on the end cap when I was there.
Yeah.
The Blu-rays for, I think, $7.50 a piece. So I got The Creature, Dracula. I got another one. I forget which one I got. I got like three of them when they were there.
So. Yeah, I see. Well, I don't have any of them yet, but I have Frankenstein, like DVD, the Legacy
the
Collection.
One I got. I don't remember now.
Frankenstein's always been my favorite, so. Let's talk Nightmare on Elm Street remake. New Line Cinema is developing a new take on the film. David Leslie Johnson will reportedly write the script for the film. Toby Emmerich, Walter Hamada, and David Neustadler will oversee the project for New Line. The outlet makes no mention of Michael Bay, Brad Fuller, and Andrew Forms Platinum Dunes being a production company on the reboot, having previously produced a 2010 film among other horror remakes. The Wes Craven-created franchise debuted in 1984 with the first film featuring Robert Englund in the role of Freddy Krueger. Englund would go on to star in the 7 sequels of the film, including Freddy's 2003 bout with Crystal Lake's own Jason Voorhees. All told, the franchise has grossed over $450 million at the box office, a major feat given the low budgets of the film. So we're getting another Nightmare on Elm Street remake, because the first remake was a fucking mess of a movie.
I never watched it.
Oh my God.
Never. I never.
You should watch it just to put yourself through it. Like, just so you can have a real understanding of how badly they fucked it up. Like, how many mistakes they make in that movie. From killing off the most interesting character within the first 15 minutes, to trying to make Freddy, a child murderer, pedophile, rapist, into a sympathetic character that we might feel bad for. Like, so many things they do wrong in this movie. And it's mind-blowing. That they did it. Like, you're going to watch it and just be like, what are you doing? Like, who made this thing? Like, who made these decisions? Because I've seen people be, you know, like, I get it. Like, they want Robert Englund. The furthest thing from, like, the best thing about that remake is probably Jackie Earle Haley, to be honest with you. The makeup sucked. That's not his fault. Right? They made his character really fucking weird and tried to make him sympathetic. That's not his fault. I think from his performance, I think is fine. I don't get any issues from him. It's everything else in that fucking movie that ruins it. That makes that movie as bad as it is.
I actually own it. It was given to me.
And you haven't watched
it? And I've never watched it.
You just need to, just once, you need to watch it.
Which is weird, because I've watched the Jason remake. I've watched,
yeah,
or Jason, the Friday the 13th remake.
Right. Texas Chainsaw.
I've watched Texas, and I just never had the urge, because I liked it. Although I do love Friday the 13th so much more than Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
I just never had the urge to watch that character get destroyed like that.
Right. It's, I'm telling you, man, that's not even the worst thing about it. Like, well, the acting. They fucked that character up royally. Oh my God. It's mind-blowing. That movie will just confuse the shit out of you all the way through. It makes no sense. The shit, it seems like such an easy thing to do, to make a movie based on another movie. Just fucking follow the same story then. Like, don't try to make it, I don't know. It's a mess of a movie. I'd be interested in what they're going to do, but I'd rather see a sequel or nothing. So
I'll have to put myself through it soon.
Yeah.
To say.
I mean, I think they shouldn't bother at all remaking it again. I don't understand.
You know, like Robert Englund said when we saw him, I doubt he's going to be in it. If he was in it, it wouldn't be a reboot. It'd be some sort of a sequel or a prequel.
Yeah, he's not going to be in it.
They're just going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
They're just going to fuck it up.
Yeah. I mean, it'll probably be better than the last remake, just because the last remake was, the bar is so low. Like, the last one was so bad that it's going to be better than that by default. Like, the only way that you could make it worse is if you literally made Freddy innocent. Like, if you literally made it so that he did nothing wrong and they murdered him. That's the only way that you could make that movie worse, because that's almost what they did in the remake. So, and one more thing. Let's talk about Tremors for a little bit. I love Tremors. So.
Me too.
Kevin Bacon on a Tremors reboot. Later this year comes Tremors 5 Bloodlines, the latest direct-to-video schlock sequel in the creature feature franchise that began with 1990's still impressive and solid Tremors. Said film quickly led to several terrible details. That's not true. Who wrote this? Those sequels are not all terrible, by the way. This guy says that there's several terrible direct-to-video follow-ups. That first sequel is actually really good. Check it out.
I've seen the first three. There's five of them, right?
Tremors, the fifth one's coming out this year.
So there's four. I've seen the first four and a TV series. Yeah, okay.
Tremors 2 I really like. So this guy's saying that it's bad. He doesn't know.
I like 1 and 2.
Me too.
1 and 2 is great.
So I did. No. No, that wasn't. Okay, anyway.
3 could be a little weary, but.
Yeah, no, I don't remember liking 3, but I've seen 2 several times. Outdoing promotion for the new indie film Cop Car, actor Kevin Bacon revealed he actually wants to reboot, or rather refresh, the franchise. Starring in the original film alongside Fred Ward, Bacon played good old boy Valentine McKee and says it's one of the few characters I've played that I'd be interested in seeing where he is 25 years later, he tells the Huffington Post. I had a real dream right now, which is to reboot it and to see the character 25 years down the line and see what that guy may have become. There's an example of a movie that, when I started thinking about it, I hadn't seen it in 25 years and I went back and watched it recently. I was really pleasantly surprised. It's a beautiful-looking movie. It really is a good film. So if Bacon isn't the holdup, what is? Universal doesn't seem to be interested, so it's moot. That's what Bacon said. So yeah, basically, Kevin Bacon would love to do a Tremors sequel.
Yeah, but is there a studio or anybody backing him on this, or is it just him saying
this? It's him saying it, but sometimes that's enough. Like, a studio like you, the only reason that Tremors 2 went direct to video is because Kevin Bacon didn't want to do a sequel. If he had been willing to do a sequel, you would have gotten a theatrical sequel out of Tremors. The only reason they didn't do it is because Kevin Bacon wouldn't come back, and he was the only thing, you know what I mean? Like, they wanted him on it, and his refusal was, they still were willing to do the video, but they wouldn't do a theatrical. First movie did well. I mean, it did really well on video. So the first movie made enough money that they had enough interest in it. They know it has a cult following. People really like that movie. I think Kevin Bacon being interested in it is possibly enough for them to do it, but I don't know. I can't see Universal coming back and being like, we're going to do Tremors, the other Tremors 2. You know, it's, or they're not going to do like a Tremors 6. So they would, I don't know. They would want to do a true reboot of it, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, I would love
like a full continuation after the first one.
Yeah, but I don't even know if they do that, because that's not what studios do right now. You know, they just remake it.
Yeah.
So I would love to see a movie where Kevin Bacon comes back 25 years later and he's still like, you know, just to see what happened after all that and after all the fame and everything. Because at the end of that first movie, you get like this idea that they're going to go off and be famous. And they do a little bit of it in the second one with Fred Ward's character. But like if he were like ended up back on the ranch or something, you know, I don't know. Be interested to see, but I don't think we're ever going to get it.
That would be cool because now, I mean, first one's great. Oh, like I said, I love the second one. Good. I just remember the first one was a lot of the wide camera angles.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the way it was shot.
Yeah, it's like he said. He says that it's a beautiful film.
Yeah, it's filmed like perfectly.
It's a Western. I mean, it's basically a Western. Yeah. And it's shot in that way.
But now with technology, I'm always the one that says, I hate CGI.
Yeah.
You could do so much more with a practical monster.
I know.
But
it makes me nervous, though.
Yeah, but you can
CGI
use...
CGI graboids.
You can use practical effects and use the CGI just to make it look that much better. Like you're using...
I mean...
A puppet or a monster, but you can just use the computer to make
the
it look that much better.
The shit they pull off in that first movie, I mean, there's miniatures all over that thing, and you can't tell.
You cannot tell
that they're using basically hand puppets at certain points, and you will never know. It's so good. Like, the miniature work and the puppetry work in that movie is so top-notch.
They use a lot.
You watch it today, and it still looks good. It's amazing how good that movie looks.
Every time I go to, was it Walmart or Target?
They have the attack pack.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
yeah,
it's got like the first four or something.
Yeah, I want that. Yeah.
And it's like eight. Where the hell did I just say?
It's cheap.
I haven't been in Walmart in a while, so it had to be Target. I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it in Target or Walmart or something. It's relatively cheap, and I would get it just for those first two movies. I don't think I ever saw the fourth one. I know I saw the third one.
I know I saw the third one, and I just
don't
remember it. So it probably wasn't that good.
Anyway, we'll see what happens with Tremors 5. I think Jamie Kennedy's in that one. So, it's not a really good sign. Yeah, I don't know. I think they shot it in Australia. I don't know if it takes place there, but...
Oh, Jimmy Kennedy's pretty funny.
He can be, yeah. He can be.
Not that that's going to... Should be a funny movie, but...
Tremors is a little bit, though. It's like, they got more goofy, I think, later. That first one's got some... Like, the dude with all the guns... Like, him and his wife, they're kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
Comedy a little bit. Yeah. And there's, like, elements of comedy in there. But it's got some pure horror stuff in it, too. Works really good.
Oh, for sure.
But that's it for news.
All right, yeah. We'll move on to reviews.
Yep.
You get more out of life when you go out to a movie.
Still plenty of time to come and be served at the refreshment center before showtime.
Show starts in 1 minute.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to Midnight Triple Feature. Please head over to midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. Check out reviews, past shows, or link up to social media where we can keep in touch. Thank you for listening, and now back to the show.
Please remember to replace the speaker on the post when you leave the theater.
All right, we're back, and we are going to run the trailer for 1983's Sledgehammer.
Are we sure this is a trailer?
I think so.
It doesn't matter if it's a clip, it works just as good. Oh my god. It's actually like one of the best scenes in the movie anyway, right?
Yeah, it is.
The kid bitch slaps him upside the head.
And it drops him. That was a hard smack.
Doesn't he hit the kid? Yeah, he fucking punches the kid
right
in the
face.
Nose. So awesome.
Best effects in cinema right there. Alright, so I guess this isn't so much a trailer, so we can get right into it. I guess it says trailer, but I guess it's a clip.
Yeah, it's just a clip. But it's okay.
Yeah, but anyway, it's... I don't even know where to begin with this movie.
So Sledgehammer's a 1983 shot-on-video horror film. It's got to be one of the earliest, if not the earliest, example of shot-on-video horror. It's really, really early in that sort of subgenre. Because you have to figure, like, the VHS cameras, which is what that would have been shot on, I would guess, wouldn't have really been readily available until the early 80s, right? It's VCRs came out when, like, late 70s or early 80s?
Yeah, I would assume somebody who was into movie making got one of these cameras for Christmas. It was like, bro, we're making a movie.
Well, you know, like, that was my thought, too. But this thing, according to IMDb, has a budget of $40,000 in 1983, which is high, like, for what we're seeing. And I'm guessing that, like, a large percentage of that might have actually gone to the camera. Because we don't remember because we were either not alive or just barely alive when this came out. But VCRs were, like, really fucking expensive in your early 80s, yeah. You know? Yeah. So I would have to guess that a camcorder, a VHS camcorder, would have probably been equally as expensive. Not $40,000, but, you know, I would guess it was still a decent investment.
Yeah, they were huge back then.
Yeah.
And, I mean, huge as in size-wise.
Size-wise, yeah.
And it's funny because there's a scene in the movie where they take the camera and they place it on the floor. And they have the killer walk towards the camera. So all you see is, like, basically mid-thigh down.
Yeah.
And he's walking down the hallway towards the camera. It's so funny because you can actually see him once he hits the camera. He starts waddling like a duck. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that. No.
It shows his shadow, and he starts waddling like a duck because he's trying to walk over the camera, and it's so hilarious.
I mean, I did see at least one boom mic shadow in a bathroom on a wall.
Yeah.
There was definitely one of those.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely shot on a VHS, you know. But I can guarantee you, man. So, you know, in the early days of VHS, I guarantee you this movie made a lot of money. Like, I knew pretty much every video store that I frequented had this movie on VHS. And because if it was made in 1983, it would have come out in the mid-80s when video stores were, like, hungry for tapes. You know, at a time when they wanted content. So these guys, it's Pryor's, Ted and David Pryor, who'd go on. I mean, they've done a ton of shit. It's all, like, low budget. Remember that movie Night Claws?
Yeah.
That was them, or at least one of them. Night Claws. Yeah. So they've been, like, working forever. And they did, like, a movie called Deadly Prey and a bunch of other stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if they actually made decent money off Sledgehammer because tapes were expensive back in the early and mid-80s. And video stores probably bought this thing up just to put shit on the shelves. And it was like you could go to a video store and watch a movie called Sledgehammer that didn't come out in a theater. So it was like watching a brand new movie. Granted, when you took it home and put it into your VCR, you were probably pretty disappointed if you were the average, you know.
I wonder what the box art looked like.
I know what it was because it's like that mask, you know, the mask that he wears.
Yeah.
It's like a weird sort of rendition of that. It says Sledgehammer in big, like, the black letters, I want to say.
I bet you it just drew, you were walking through the video store and the cover art just pulled you right in.
I rented this in the late 80s.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And
I'd never seen it before.
I know that this is the first time I've actually knowingly sat down and watched it all the way through. Because when I rented it back in the 80s and I brought it home, I was expecting, you know, at that point, I probably watched, like, a lot of the Friday the 13th movies and, you know, the more bigger budget or Hollywood production slasher films. And this would have been my very first experience with a shot-on-video movie. It's part of the reason I picked it for this when you did The Bite. Because I was like, well, what shot-on-video movie could I put with it? And Sledgehammer just kind of made sense because it was my first experience with SOV. And I hated SOV when I was a kid because the movie's not well made at all. You know,
no. This film really does have the potential to be good.
Oh, sure.
It's got a great story. I'm
trying to bring that cover up for you here.
You know, it takes place in a house. They have nowhere to go. What really kills this for me is the constant slow motion.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's so hard to get through.
It's one of the most gratuitous uses of slow motion I've ever seen. It's so
and
many.
And it's constant. Yeah. It's every kill.
Without reason, too. Like, there's scenes that are in slow motion that don't even make sense. They're just in slow motion. Like, I don't know if they're just trying to pad out the runtime by adding in slow motion because they probably wanted it to be around 80 minutes. But,
Yeah, because there's scenes where they're just walking.
Oh, yeah, no.
They're coming through the doorway, and it's just slow motion. It's a
classic shot on video, though, of padding and not really having enough content to fill runtime. So you do these other things to try to fill it out, and it ends up coming across as boring. Here, this was the cover art. See, so it was like the big block sledgehammer with the mask.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you've seen that before.
If I'm 12 years old and I'm walking through, that's good.
You're
going to
watch that,
I'm
going
to watch that.
That's what happened to me. I would have been younger than 10, I'm sure. And I know I was disappointed when I saw it. But, you know what, definitely has some things going for it. Like, the killer, I actually think, is relatively effective. I actually like the mask. And I think, like, he's a big dude. Like, the guy that they got, the actual killer, he's actually a pretty, like, big hulking guy. So, like, I actually think he's pretty effective, like, physically. And I do like the mask. It works for me.
Yeah, you know? I mean, he's just in plaid shirt, blue jeans.
Yeah, he's like a lumberjack killer.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what I thought of him as. I mean, there are a lot of things that don't make sense. Like, for example, did the kid die in that closet? Or did he killed his parents? And then why does he keep going back and forth from kid to adult?
I couldn't figure out. Is he supernatural?
That's what I'm asking. It's never explained, right?
No, and there's... The first time I was like, what the fuck is going on is when the guy chases him, the big, like, jock guy is chasing him down the hallway, and then all of a sudden he disappears into the room, and then the jock is trying to bang on the door, and then he goes into the
door.
I'm like, when did this become a ghost story?
It's never explained.
It's never explained.
And like I said, he goes back and forth from kid to adult. I don't understand why. Like, if you could have just had this be, like, a standard slasher movie with this guy running around with a sledgehammer or whatever, killing people, and it would have been fine without this weird teleportation shit or whatever it is that's going on. So the movie,
IMDb says it was shot in 7 days.
I believe it. Don't you believe it?
Yeah, I thought it was less than that.
Here's the thing, like... It's a bad movie. It's pretty terrible all around. It's really incompetently made. It's got some good stuff, but I could never, ever, ever say it's a good movie. But I do think it's entertaining in a really weird way. Like, in its badness, almost. You know, there's people out there who don't really like that concept of, like, watching a movie because it's bad, but... I don't know. I found it to be, like, really engaging because it was so inept. Because there were so many random bad slow motion shots. And because there were things that didn't make sense. The fact that the big muscular dude constantly is walking around with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Like that. And, like, there's this woman in it that I kept thinking was a man. The woman with the mullet that's in it. Like, the female character.
Yeah.
There were a number of times where I thought she was a man.
I hate when people... I don't know why people do this. I hate when you tuck your football jersey into your pants. Like, just don't do that ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that stuff, though, that, like, I think it's kind of fun about it.
As I'm watching it, I never once looked to see how much time was left.
Yeah.
A point where I was like, oh, fuck, I have to turn this off.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, I'm like, wow, that was a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, when it's all over, you're like, that movie's terrible. But when you're watching it, it's not like a terrible movie that you're constantly like looking at the time or looking at. It's weird like that, you know.
And it's got that same repetitive track over and over. I think it's still here.
Oh, it's probably in that clip you played.
Yeah, I think it is. Say. This is. It was repetitive over the entire film.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the music's pretty awful, for sure. It's 80s synth style.
All you hear, yeah.
Not as well done as, you know, the best of the synth stuff. I don't know. Like, what can you really say about Sledgehammer? It's... you kind of, like, you have to see it, I think, to really understand it, or not even understand it, but to really either appreciate it or hate it.
Yeah, if you're into shot on video,
you
have to see it. If you're just in the really crappy movies and you have a friend that's in the crappy movies, this is your Saturday night, you know.
Yeah.
Grab a couple beers, send the girls off in the bedroom to have their nails done, and just watch this fucking movie.
Yeah, but you don't watch this if you're... This is not going to be for most people. So it's like, I can't recommend it because most horror fans, I would think, are probably not going to be interested in it. You have to be of a certain kind of cloth.
Like, yeah.
You know, you have to watch a lot of low budget stuff. You have to having been exposed to shot on video helps because, like I've heard people call it shot on shittio, and there's a reason for that. It's because most of the shot on video stuff is terrible.
Yeah, most of it is.
You know, most of it's pretty awful. Most of it's like this, really badly paced.
There's just something about it I like.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
There's just something about it, the feeling of the VHS tape.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly helps. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it would be different if you had the physical VHS tape. Like, it would just give you that extra feeling of, I get to put it in.
Oh, yeah.
But just watching it like this, I was just like,
someone, Mondo, put this out in a limited edition VHS release recently, like in the last few years.
Oh, yeah?
It was like limited to, I don't even know. It wasn't a lot. They didn't do a big run on it. But there was a recent release of it on VHS again.
Yeah, I went to this flea market way out in New York.
Yeah?
Took like over an hour to get there. I'm actually going Sunday, too. VHS up the ass.
I want to go to that.
And DVD up the ass. DVD, no horror movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know if someone went in there and took them all, but, you know, just random. You know, you want Men in Black? You can get, like, one from each vendor up there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just tables and tables of VHS tapes. Nothing. I'm going to take another look to see if anybody
nothing
else shows
horror.
Up. Really, nothing horror.
Well, it's tape like, collectors hit those things up all the time, so
yeah,
I think it's getting harder and harder to find tapes.
Yeah, not that I'm a collector or anything.
Yeah,
but there's a few I'd like to have.
Yeah, I would. I buy them when I see them. Like if I see something and I know I can either sell it or keep it for myself because I do still have VHS collection.
Yeah, because there was this one guy. He was doing buy 4 tapes. He'll give you 7 for free.
Holy shit!
He just wanted to get rid of them. He had boxes of them. So I was looking, I was like, all right, well, if I can find 4 that I enjoy, I'll just grab 7 random ones and see if I can offload them.
Yeah, it's always good to look for, like, weird 80s and 90s action, too, and sci-fi.
Well, I'm going back up Sunday, so I'm going to take a look, see what they got.
But, yeah, I mean, shot on video has always had, like, a weird thing for me because it had, I think when I was a kid and I watched it, it just had this weird sense of being home video-like. And in a way that works to a movie's advantage when, you know, because this is well before, like, found footage was really a thing, you know, that you had a few out there, but it wasn't anything like it is now. So watching a shot on video movie is also like almost like watching someone's home movie.
Yeah.
So in that way, like to a young viewer, it almost was a bit more unsettling in an odd way. Like to, like, say a 7 or 8 year old. It almost sells it to you as more real because as a young kid, you don't really notice the bad acting and the bad, you know, you just kind of notice the movie itself. So I remember shot on video stuff kind of rubbing me the wrong way when I was little, like making me feel uncomfortable. And like, as I'm an adult, I think that's why, like it made me think of home movies and it just felt too real to like a 7-year-old. Now I watch and I'm like, I can't believe I ever felt that way because this stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, this stuff's
I love
terrible,
watching it.
But...
Yeah. I love like the shot on video, like kung fu movies, and
yeah, those two.
Oh
those
my god,
amazing.
They're so bad, but they're so fun to watch.
Well, like we did Lost Faith, and that's like a perfect example.
Oh yeah,
you know, that's a great, great example of shot on video action. It's like that's a movie that is endlessly entertaining for me. So this isn't quite at that level.
No,
you know, but it's watchable. It's fun, really Z grade level stuff. So.
Yeah.
That's all I really have to say about it.
Yeah, me too. Definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. So we'll move on to The Bite, which is actually...
Yeah, speaking of Lost Faith, right?
Yeah. The guy who made Lost Faith, which we did a few months ago, is Joel D. Weinkoop, and this is his 2005 The Bite. Love the synth.
God. That was the Hulk Hogan fucking lookalike, the guy he was kicking around.
All right. So this movie starts off with the longest fight scene in history of first fight scenes. How long did that go? Like 15 minutes?
A really long time.
It went for a long time.
And it's
time.
A lot of the same kicks and punches.
Yeah, he's like, got like four moves.
Yeah, like, yeah. I give him credit for being in the shape he is at this point in his life and still being able to kick his leg higher than I can kick mine. But he does the same fucking moves for like 15 minutes straight. It's a little bit tedious, I gotta be honest. He's just beating the shit out of a stripper. And that's another thing. This movie's got a lot of strippers in it, I think. I'm pretty sure he hit up the strip club.
Yeah, one's a stripper. I think the other one might be a prostitute.
Escort/prostitute?
No, what do they call? Like a porn star.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
How did I forget that name?
All right.
Yeah, I think one of them might be a porn star. And I'm pretty sure his wife in the movie is his wife in real life.
It is.
Yeah.
I did do a little bit of looking in the background, and they were married. And they married in 2005, so they married, I'm guessing, around the time this movie was made, which also explains why they were so eager to like be intimate on screen, which is a little bit weird to watch.
Yeah, it was.
Like that scene where like that one vampire like bites her, and she's like he's like feeling her up and shit. I was like, this is weird.
Because I'm like, all right, so after the movie was over, you know, I go to IMDb because I rate everything, so I know what I watched and stuff. And I noticed that her last name was the same as his, and I was like, well, maybe it's his sister.
That would be
That's
fucking
why it was
weird,
so
though.
Awkward, but I was like, they really made out.
Yeah.
I was like, so it's got to be his wife.
It is, yeah.
Let me tell you, another shot on video. You know it's going to be bad. I liked it. I don't know.
I had a hard time with this one.
Oh my god!
I got to be honest with you.
I watched it, I even watched all the features.
Yeah.
And then I actually watched it about halfway through again.
Yeah.
You know, over the weekend while I was just kind of chilling out.
Yeah. It just there's a lot of repetition in it. Like.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of him, like, doing... Like I said, I'm repeating myself, but it's him doing the same kick again and again and again and again and again. And at some point, it gets like, oh. And you don't get enough of him actually just, like, I don't know, doing anything clever to kill vampires besides kick them in the face. Like, he has like, these things that he makes, but they don't really ever play out.
He walked down the aisle of Kmart and just bought some toys.
I know he did, yeah. And
because there's no way.
I mean, I can appreciate that. Like, I can appreciate the fact that he's like, I'm going to make this movie, and I don't fucking care. I'm just going to get this movie done. You know, like, hell or high water, if it means I have to buy Kmart toys, I'm going to do it, and we're going to get a movie done. But there's also a point where it starts to feel like dudes in their backyard playing make-believe kung fu for them. You know what I mean?
Like, that's, yeah, I get you.
Like, Lost Faith didn't feel like that as much. Lost Faith felt like more of a movie because I think it was because it, I don't know if it was just the fact that he moved the action over to an island and kind of had a lot of stuff going on at different times. This just felt like a lot of it felt like, yeah, literally backyard wrestling, but like, you know what I mean? Like even lower grade than that. And just because so much of it ends up being shot in parking lots and, or in, you know, like inside of houses, I get for his house or like a, whatever, a shed or storage unit or something. I don't know. But like in it, there's not enough variation. Whereas I felt like in Lost Faith, he had a lot of variation. You know, there was just more going on in that movie. This is a lot of him in places that all kind of look the same.
Yeah, but it's an apocalypse, man. There's not too far you can go.
There's cars driving around behind him. Like, there's points where he's fighting vampires in a parking lot in broad daylight, and there's traffic in the back driving around. Like, you can see it.
And speaking of props, did you notice that he walked under, I don't know if he walked, maybe he drove, but he went to Family Dollar Store, or whatever it's called, Dollar mm-hmm. Tree, and he mm-hmm. bought a bag of those Halloween vampire teeth.
Yes.
He probably got like 20 for a dollar.
Like I know. And like I said, I can appreciate that to some level. But it does just start to feel like a lot like something you would have made like if you had a VHS camera and you were 8 years old. But it feels like there's a guy in his 50s doing that. You know what I mean? Which is a completely different thing. Like, I feel like this is the kind of movie that, like, a Steven Spielberg would have made when he was 6. You know what I mean? And then at some point, he graduated to a real filmmaker. Joel D. Weinkoop may have gone backwards in his skill.
Yeah, because Lost Faith. Lost Faith was before this.
Way. It's like 15 years. It's like you'd think over the course of, like, 15 years of movie making. Because if you look at his filmography, he's done a lot since then. So, like, by theory, you're supposed to improve over time. If you're doing a job for 15 years, and after those 15 years, you're performing at a lesser level than you were when you started, that's probably not a good thing. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I like that.
I don't know, man.
As bad as it is, I enjoyed watching it.
It was just...
I don't know. I would say someone's got to check this out. Because I can't be the only one that bought this.
How much you want to bet you're the only fucking person that bought this thing on
TV? It got delayed, too.
And that was probably enough money to fund Joel's next movie.
$12.95.
Have you looked at his IMDb page? Did you see he's got a movie in production called Nakoda?
Yeah.
So he's doing a sequel to Lost Faith. He's going to play the same characters, Nakoda, in a new movie.
It's going to be awesome.
That one, if he ever gets that off the ground, I'd be interested in seeing that. But, oh my God, I don't know, man, this movie. Just...
I don't know. I got it. I bought it from Cult Movie Mania. I pre-ordered it. And then I ordered it a month before it was supposed to come out. And then it got delayed for 3 weeks.
Must have been doing reshoots.
Had to add stuff in. Yeah. Those vampires don't look real enough.
Oh my God.
So if I finally got it in, I was pretty satisfied till today.
Oh, man.
Did you watch any of the special features?
No, I didn't have time. I just finished it yesterday, so I didn't have time.
Yeah, I don't have it on this computer, but...
Yesterday, whatever day I messaged you, Wednesday? I just watched it like a day or two ago, so...
I don't know if it was... if it was real or if it was just a joke, but you know, like the Egyptian guy that he meets in the parking lot or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, "No, dude, I'm going with you."
Yeah.
Well, and the special features is a completely separate movie where he plays a fucking wolf.
Really?
Yeah. He plays a wolf.
Wait, that guy, the other guy?
Yeah, the Egyptian guy. I'm pretty sure it's a Joel D. Weinkoop movie.
It probably is.
It's the most ridiculous looking wolf I've ever seen.
Yeah, so. So for $12.95, the bike can
no,
be yours.
No, it went up. That was That was pre-order.
It's more expensive.
It's more now. God.
He's got like a bunch of shit in production, and like, you know what? He acts in a lot of stuff. So he's in like a lot of low budget horror movies. Like if you look at his IMDb, it's incredibly long. Like he's been in a lot of stuff. I think he has a hard time, not really surprised, I'm thinking he has a hard time getting movies actually made and distributed. But that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I'm sure no one's taking his phone calls right now.
He's got a movie on his IMDb called Slasher Weekend. I saw that. He's got a movie called Nakoda. His IMDb picture is ridiculous, too.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird. I'm looking at him now, actually.
Let's see. So upcoming projects, he's got I Dared You, Truth or Dare Part 5, which those Truth or Dare movies are ridiculous. Slash Cam. Wait a minute. Did he change this within the last... Oh, no, there's Slasher Weekend. Okay.
I kind of want to see that.
Grave Robbers from Outer Space, Limo Driver, For Nicole's Sake, Peace, Love, Unity, Retribution, Daughters of the Rich, and Nakoda.
Wow, that dude played in Ocean's 11?
What? Who?
That... Middle Eastern guy that I'm
Oh, did he?
Up.
I was going to say
I'm trying
Dakota.
To see if this is a real movie. Oh, IMDb crashed. Of course it did.
Trying to find his other directing credits. Those are acting credits. There's producing credits. I got to show you this. Writing credits. So, yeah, he's directed, yeah, Slasher Weekend, Kill Her Arnold, which is a short. Bronze was a short, short. He directed a lot of shorts.
I want to see Slasher Weekend, though. It looks... good.
That'd be interesting. Before I Die. He had a movie on one of those six movie packs.
On which one?
Mental Maniacs. It's called Before I Die. And I like how every single Joel D. Weinkoop movie you look at doesn't have a fucking plot in the thing.
No, it hasn't. It doesn't.
None
no
of them.
Whatsoever.
None of them. Let's see if this one has one. Nope. Know what this is about? Question mark. I watched The Bite. I'm still not sure what that's about. Let's see. Survivors of Rimmick. I don't even think Slasher Weekend has a plot summary. Nope. Oh, my God.
It's a trailer for a fucking movie.
Let's see. Which character was the the hero?
Yeah,
Gustavo Perez. Let's see. Got a demo reel.
Yeah, it froze when I looked it up.
Yeah, he looks like he gets like walk on parts. Yeah, fight spectator, bar patron, Mexican construction worker, Cuban number two. What's that?
That was
Rob. Oh yeah, he's in.
Us communist captors hatched a better plan.
Plans to control the cell.
By turning me into an animal?
Come on.
He changes. He fails. He dies.
Come on.
He's out of prison. Out of control. And out for
the most ridiculous suit ever.
We have to do something. The people are just in the panic.
Watch it, guys. It still looks better than the vampire fangs and the bite.
Yeah, Joel DiManco. See, so I don't know if this is real or not.
I was Joel D.
Yeah. And Cult Movie Mania bring you Gustavo Perez, insane human chemical werewolf movie.
When was the last time that you saw a wolf in Cooper?
A fur cover, flesh ripping, no budget nightmare.
Look what you've done to me!
I mean, it looks real.
I'm pretty sure somebody made that.
They're saying you can get it on cultmoviemania.com, which is where you bought the bite.
Yeah, and lost faith.
Oh,
looks like I'm another $12.95 deep into something. Can't stop now.
anyway.
Yeah, so I have nothing else to say about that.
Yeah, and no, I think we've said everything needs to be said.
So,
if you feel like watching it, watch it. It's bad though.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely bad, but yeah. So, all right, anything else?
No, that's it. So next show we're going to be into so we're recording this early. So the show after this it's weird, but it's only like middle of August right now, but this won't be out till the end of August. So then we'll be in September, so we're doing rip-offs. September will be rip-offs and remakes. So for the entire month, we're doing a couple of shows devoted to rip-offs and remakes. So we're going to do rip-offs. What are yours? You had three rip-offs.
Yeah, I'm going to do two of mine are actually available on YouTube. So if you want to follow along, that's Dolly Dearest. And what was the other one I was on YouTube? Mahakal and Dolly Dearest are on YouTube, and Abby is available on a couple of the weird Roku channels, so you can find them on there. Yeah, it's actually available on Cryptic TV.
Yeah, you can definitely track that one down. You can watch that online on Cryptic TV's website.
Yeah, so Mahakal is a complete ripoff. It's a Bollywood movie of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep.
And Abby is a blaxploitation ripoff of The Exorcist. And, holy crap, I'm drawing a blank again. My head is pounding from laughing. And
Dolly Dearest.
Very obvious. That's a complete ripoff of Child's Play.
And then after that, so since you were going to do ripoffs, I said, well, I'm going to do remakes. Kind of go hand in hand. So we're going to do 1988's The Blob. I'm going to do 1990, what year was that? 9? 8? House on Haunted Hill remake from the late 90s.
With Owen Wilson?
No, that's The Haunting. We're going to do House on Haunted Hill, which is the one with Chris Kattan.
Oh, yeah, that was 90,
and Taye Diggs.
97, 98.
Yeah, and then we're going to tackle the one and only Rob Zombie's Halloween.
We have to tackle have that. To.
And
yeah.
That will ease us right into October, at which point we'll probably be talking about a lot of Halloween movies.
Yep.
So that's kind of a good way to cap off September, but it's about time we put Zombies Halloween to bed once and for all.
So we have a ton of movies to watch between now and about a month from now.
Yep. So should be good shows, though. I'm looking forward to talking about some of that stuff. And, you know, I have some very strong opinions about Halloween. So.
As do I. Some people love it. Some people hate it.
Yeah, so.
All right, so we'll be doing that then.
All righty.